Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is John Hunter Nemechek from Nemco Motorsports, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the November 17th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 95 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and tonight Michael Mullally and myself will be previewing the Ford Championship weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway.
This isn't just a race. This is the championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. There are no shortcuts, no excuses, no participation trophies. The only thing racing faster than the championship for is your pulse. Because when it comes to the championship, nothing else matters. It's time! The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship Ford EcoBoost 400. November 20th. Call 866-409-RACE or visit homesteadmiamispeedway.com.
Did you know that in the first 2 years of the current chase format, the champion was crowned after winning the season finale at Homestead Miami Speedway, one of the rare tracks where Jimmy Johnson has yet to win in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series? Of the active tracks on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series schedule, only Chicago, Homestead Miami, Kentucky, and Watkins Glen have yet to host Johnson in victory lane. But that's not to say it can't be done, and prior to this chase format, Johnson never needed a win to guarantee a title. Johnson has posted 10 top 10 finishes in 15 races at Homestead Miami, including four top fives. He has captured a pair of Coors Light Pole Awards at the 1.5-mile oval and two runner-up finishes, 2004 and 2010 as well. Additionally, his career record at similar length tracks is record-breaking. He has a record 26 wins across five other 1.5-mile tracks, Atlanta, Charlotte, Kansas, Las Vegas, Texas, and has 70 top 5 and 106 top 10 finishes at all active mile-and-a-half circuits. Did you know that in sports, greats elevate their game and then under intense playoff pressure? It's hard to wear the crown if you wilt under the intense spotlight. So Joey Logano's race in Phoenix should be considered one of the all-time great performances. And yes, that might have been a bit of a stretch, but let's hear his Here's out. It all started well before driving his number 22 into Phoenix's victory lane this past weekend. It started after Texas, when one look at the standings and subsequent clinch scenarios showed that only a victory guaranteed entry into the championship four. Logano officially sat inside the cutoff line, but by only 1 point. The pressure was immediately on. It continued in the closing laps prior to the last caution that flew because Matt Kenseth's car and championship hopes smashed into the wall. Prior to that caution, Logano fought off Kevin Harvick, the king of Phoenix, lap after lap. That position was vital to Logano's championship hopes. As they ran, had Harvick passed Logano, the driver with the number 22 would not have made the championship four. And finally, Logano shrugged off pressure a third time on the final restart at lap 323 at Phoenix, holding the lead and locking in the third spot in the championship four.
Did you know that if Carl Edwards wins his first career NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship at Homestead Miami Speedway, it will be the second consecutive title for Joe Gibbs Racing in Toyota? JGR captured its fourth Sprint Cup Series crown last season with Kyle Busch, while Toyota captured its first driver championship. It would mark the first time since 2010 that the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series has seen back-to-back team and manufacturer driver championships. Jimmy Johnson last accomplished the feat from 2006 to 2010 when he won his five consecutive championships for Hendrick Motorsports and Chevrolet. Toyota is also on the verge of history. If the top-finishing Toyota finishes 26th or better, it will clinch its first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series manufacturer's championship.
Did you know that excluding Talladega, while Kyle Busch netted a 30th place finish, he has finished 9th or better in each of the chase races this year, posting an average finish of 7.3 through the 9 races. However, Busch has yet to visit victory lane during the chase while in contention for the title under the current playoff format. He made his way into the championship four in much the same way in 2015, posting top 10 finishes in all but 3 tracks, New Hampshire, Charlotte, and Talladega. His lone win in the 2015 chase was the season finale. His clutch performance in the Chase was further exhibited this fall in second-place finishes in the cutoff races at Dover and Phoenix this season, which nearly mirrored the results at those tracks in 2015, where he had second and fourth, respectively. Who's your pick for the 2016 Sprint Cup champion?
Joey Logano. Duh!
You're going with Joey again, huh?
I am, only because I feel like last year he really got screwed, which I know a lot of people say that about their drivers, but I feel like he did. So I think he's going to come back this year, and he's going to win it and put it in Matt Kenseth's juice box.
Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty good pick, but I'm going with Jimmy Johnson to get the seventh of his championship and have the big seven parade and all that. I know that the cheetah there at Zoo Miami picked Carl Edwards to win the race there in Homestead this weekend. So that'll be interesting if that ends up coming true. I don't know how well of a prognosticator a cheetah at the zoo is, but you never know. But I do think that Jimmy Johnson has a pretty better than average chance of winning the championship. Whether or not he wins the race or not is a different question. But I think he has a pretty good shot of winning his seventh championship this weekend.
Yeah, well, if Joey doesn't win, then I guess it would be okay if Jimmy Johnson won, just because I think it would be really cool to see him tie the record. Or would he be breaking the record? I can't remember.
No, he'd be tying. There's two other people, Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt both have seven championship wins. That brings us to the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the second half of our Did You Know segment for tonight.
Did you know that Elliott Sadler has a chance this weekend to win his first NASCAR Xfinity Series championship and bring home the second driver title in 3 years for JR Motorsports? Chase Elliott 2014. Sadler is no stranger to the championship pressure, as he has finished in the top three in the series driver standings in three of the last five seasons, including two runner-ups in 2011 and 2012.
Did you know that after a two-season stint in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Justin Allgaier returned to the NASCAR Xfinity Series this season and instantly jumped into title contention form? The Riverton, Illinois native has a solid shot at the NASCAR Xfinity Series championship for the first time in his career as the series heads into Homestead, Miami. Allgaier's previous best series standings finish was third in 2011. This season, Allgaier, like Sadler, has had the opportunity to bring home the second series driver title for Junior Motorsports in 3 years. As mentioned a second ago, the last time was Chase Elliott in 2014.
Did you know that the 2015 NASCAR Xfinity Series Sunoco Rookie of the Year, Daniel Suarez, has the opportunity to become the first international driver to win a National Series title? The Monterrey, Mexico native became the first Mexican-born driver to win a NASCAR Xfinity Series race this season when he took the checkered flag at Michigan, and then again during the chase at Dover. Now the Drive for Diversity and NASCAR Next program graduate can not only become the first driver from Mexico to win a series title, but he can also bring home the second series driver title for Joe Gibbs Racing and the first since Kyle Busch, who won it in 2009.
Did you know that Eric Jones' rookie season has been one of the most impressive in series history? The NASCAR Sunoco Rookie of the Year candidate has set a rookie record for poles with 9 this season. The 20-year-old driver has also posted 4 wins this season, the most for a rookie since Greg Biffle's 5 wins in 2001. Now Jones head to Homestead Miami Speedway with the opportunity to become the second Sunoco Rookie of the Year candidate to win the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship since Chase Elliott in 2014. Boy, Chase had a great year that year, didn't he? Like Suarez, Jones can also bring home Joe Gibbs Racing's second series driver title and the first since Kyle Busch won it in 2009. Our first guest this evening knows a lot about the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Ray Black Jr. is an American professional stock car racing driver who currently competes full-time in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, driving the number 7 Chevrolet Camaro for SS Greenlight Racing.
He is going into Homestead 19th in points, and we are pleased to welcome him to the program.
Hello, hey. Thanks for coming back on tonight.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So, did you do anything different to prepare for Saturday's race?
You know, I been a really long week. We had some sponsorship obligations throughout the week. We had to go to Vegas right after Phoenix, talk with a few of them. So we got to get that in. I had a pretty good time out there and flew back last night. So I'm heading down. I'm actually in Miami right now, and we're ready to go, man. We got a pretty good piece we're bringing down to this track, and we've had some pretty good results here in the past. So I'm excited about it.
What's your overall impression of the Homestead Miami Speedway?
I'm sorry?
What's your overall impression of the track there at Homestead?
Oh, it's a really fun track. It's got a progressive banking, so there's lots of different grooves you can take. But it seems like each race, the outside proves to be the fastest line. I mean, the middle comes in every once in a while, but if you can get up on the wall, there's a lot of speed up there. But it's definitely not easy to run there and not hit the wall for a couple hundred laps. So, you know, it's definitely a fine line, but it's fun, though. You know, and I know last year in the truck we ran here, and I probably knocked the wall down like 5 times. So hopefully I can hit that half. I know I might hit it once or twice, but that's what makes it fun.
What's the biggest difference between driving a Camper World truck and an Xfinity Series car?
I think the biggest difference is the trucks, you know, they push around a lot more air around, so it gets a little bit more dicey in the traffic and things like that. So it makes it for a fun drive. But the cars are, you know, you got 40 of those guys running around, and they're a little, you know, the competition's a lot stiffer, and the speeds are a little bit higher, so it's a good time. I mean, I enjoy racing the cars a lot, and the trucks were a handful, but, you know, the cars, you can definitely drive them a little bit harder than the trucks and get away with it, I guess.
What's your favorite thing about being a race car driver?
I don't know, probably just meeting all the new people, the new fans, and that's always a really cool part of it. And the traveling, that's definitely a huge benefit, I guess. And then you get to see, you know, a lot of this countryside and things like that, and some of the places you never thought you'd actually go in a lifetime, and you get to go explore around. So that's it, you know, and you get to meet a lot of fans and the kids that come out and watch races and, you know, be a kind of a hero to them. That's pretty cool. I enjoy those moments.
I know it looks like you're going to end up with at least a top 20 finish in points this season, so congratulations on that. But who's your pick for the NASCAR Xfinity champion for this year?
It's a good question. I'm going to go with Daniel Suarez, I guess. I'm going to pick him. I like Eric. He's cool, but I'm going to go with Daniel. I think he's got it. I think something will happen that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it seems like at Homestead especially, there's always a pretty crazy issue at the end of the track, the end of the races there. I think that it might go to Eric Jones because he's had a really good year, and I think he kind of deserves it. It's been a little tough for him with his father and all that, so I mean, it'd be good end to his season to finish on top and in the NASCAR Xfinity Series there at Homestead.
Well, if it's any indication that somebody might deserve it, then William Byron should have been in the Homestead race for the run of the championship Friday night. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he definitely has a great season going.
How do you feel about the fact that Byron had that warning light showing on his dash for about 20 laps before his engine expired, and he didn't do anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, there ain't much you can do about those motor issues. I mean, if you're running hot, you know, can take all the tape off of it, and it's Phoenix, so you're not running any tape, if not minimum, so not much you can do. It's kind of a crappy situation. I'm sure they're leaning on the motors a lot throughout that race, and it is what it is. That's, you know, what makes this chase pretty fun to watch, though.
And now I'll throw you out to Michael Mullally. Has a couple questions for you as well.
All right, cool.
Who do you look up to the most in the racing world?
Let's see. I like Tony Stewart. He's always been a cool driver to watch. Exciting. So I think him, and, you know, I like Formula One. So there's a few drivers out there, Schumacher. I used to grow up watching him. So guys like that, they're always pretty fun, and you can learn a little bit.
If you weren't racing, what other career do you think you would be pursuing?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'm going to think about that one. I think you know, I'm in the sport of diving, so somewhere in the diving industry. And I guess if I wasn't doing that, I'd probably, I don't know, I'd like to be a professional surfer or snowboarder or something crazy like that. You know, I'm not good at, well, not good at surfing. I've never done snowboarding, but it'd be pretty cool to have one of those as a job.
Is there any other, like, aspects of racing that intrigue you, or is it just the driving that just is awesome to you?
I don't know. I think, yeah, I like being on the edge all the time, and, you know, there's a lot of different races I want to try as far as, like, off-road and road courses, and yeah, I want to travel around the world and race in each different series and things like that. So I think the versatility of racing, you know, how much you can expand in it is pretty cool. So, you know, I see a lot of guys race NASCAR their whole life, and that's cool and all, but, you know, you do it for 10 years, you might want to do something different. So that's about where I'm at right now, you know, having fun and to get all you can out of it. But eventually, you'll go try something different.
What is the toughest track that you have competed on, like, in general, like, ever?
The hardest track?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think the hardest track I've ever been to, I think between probably Bristol and Darlington. I think Bristol's one of those really, you know, it's a really aggressive track. You got to attack, be able to attack the entire time. You can't lose focus. And, you know, you're racing somebody the whole time pretty much, and you got all those cars on the track. So that's a really fun one, and it's hard. And Darlington, you know, the tires wear out after, like, 5 laps. So that was a really cool one to be a part of. And the sun's blaring down your face. And it is a neat experience. Those are the ones that we can do well at. And so those are the ones I like doing the most, the ones that everybody kind of struggles at, I guess.
If you could give advice to somebody seeking, like, sponsorship or just racing advice in general, what would you tell them?
Well, I guess it's just not easy to start with. You know, it's definitely one of the hardest things I've done in my life. And it takes a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of resources. And, you know, it takes a lot of time out of your crew member's life. So, you know, if you do want to do it, then you just make sure it's the right decision for you. And, you know, make sure you actually want to do it and you love it. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to waste people's time and a spot in the series. You know, and, unless you're actually serious about it. So, you know, it's 33 races a year in our series, and that's a lot. So a lot of guys are away from their families, and, you know, you got to take it serious and have fun at the same time, you know. If you're not having fun, then you're doing something wrong. But, you know, that's what we always do is have fun and thankful for all the opportunities we get. And, you know, and just be happy and be grateful.
That question actually leads into one that I've been thinking about for a little while. How do you feel about the announcement of Brian Scott's retirement at only the age of 28 from the NASCAR series? Do you think that's came to as a little bit of a shock to a lot of people who follow the sport? What's your opinion of it?
Yeah, I mean, retiring at that age is pretty young, I guess. But, you know, I guess he wants to go spend time with his family, which is it's a manly thing to do. And, I'm sure he has a lot more things lined up, you know. He might be in racing, might not, but, you know, and I guess he moved up and got to do the Sprint Cup for a year, and, you know, he'll have that on his resume for the rest of his life. So, you know, that's really cool, and you never know. I mean, could be a good thing that he's getting out, or it could be, you know, he get out of it for 6 months and want to get right back into it. So, but mm-hmm. I think it's an admirable thing to do. It's not easy. A lot of guys don't, you know, just bow out like that and retire. You know, they go out swinging. So, you know, it's interesting, that's for sure.
You mentioned you'd be interested in trying other opportunities. I know this past week, actually finishing up yesterday, was the test for the Rolex 24 Daytona coming up at the end of January. Have you ever thought about racing in something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be something I want to do. I want to do the Rolex race and then, you know, there's a lot of tracks on my bucket list, I guess, and do the 24 hours Le Mans, definitely do some open wheel stuff, IndyCar, rally car, things like that. You know, I want to try it all and see what I like the most, and then do a few more of those, I guess. But, yeah, there's so many different types of racing. You never know, you know. Going in circles is fun and all, but it's kind of cool to go ride every once in a while, I guess.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years? Probably 35. I don't know. Hopefully I see myself. I don't know. Maybe whatever I'm doing, being successful at it, I guess. Having fun, you know, having the same good people around me that I have now, if not add some more. And, you know, and just traveling, definitely traveling. You know, I won't stop doing that. And, you know, 5 years is a long time. So if you make it to the top realm of NASCAR, then, you know, definitely be doing that. If not, and, you know, venturing out and exploring my options and definitely having some fun, diving some more, maybe, you never know.
Well, we'd like to wish you lots of luck this coming weekend, and thank you very much for coming back on the show again this year. So hopefully we'll talk to you again next season and see what the next great adventure in your racing career is.
All right. I appreciate it, Adam and Mike. Y'all have a great evening.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Once again, that was Ray Black Jr., who'll be competing tomorrow night in the Ford He'll be competing on Saturday night in the Ford 300 in the Xfinity Series. Well, we've got a few minutes before our next guest. We're going to take a short break and listen to a song from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew. This is Last When You Crash, which is appropriate for Homestead Miami Speedway. They always have a lot of really interesting finishes during the racing weekend there.
Isn't just a race. This is the championship
at Homestead Miami Speedway. There are no shortcuts, no excuses, no participation trophies. The only thing racing faster than the championship for is your pulse. because when it comes to the championship, nothing else matters. It's time! The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship Ford EcoBoost 400, November 20th. Call 866-409-RACE or visit homesteadmiamispeedway.com.
Once again, that was Last When You Crash, and then the little Homestead Miami promo. Hopefully all of you are heading down there this weekend. I will be heading down there tomorrow for the race. It should be a pretty good race indeed. Looking forward to it. So, now let's get into the third and final segment of Did You Know for this week.
Did you know that the young upstart in the championship for 21-year-old Christopher Bell will attempt to keep the NASCAR Camping World Series driver title at Kyle Busch Motorsports for another year by achieving the same feature Eric Jones did last season, winning the series crown as a rookie? In his lone start at Homestead last season, Bell finished 25th after running out of fuel on the 131st of 134 laps.
Did you know that as a model of consistency, Timothy Peters is the one driver in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Championship for without a victory this season? The number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota driver has advanced by registering 8 top 5 and 15 top 10 showings for an average finish of 9.1. In the chase, he has posted 4 top 5s, 5 top 10s, and an average finish of 6.8.
Did you know that no driver in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series is on as big of a tear as Johnny Sauter lately? The number 21 GMS Racing driver boasts 2 wins and a runner-up in the last 3 races, entering Friday's Ford EcoBoost 200 Championship race at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Did you know that in the last 3 years, Matt Crafton has dominated the intermediate tracks on the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series circuit? In the series' last 25 starts, the tracks ranging from 1.5 to 1.54 miles. Crafton boasts 7 wins, 17 top 5s, 22 top 10s, and a 5.76 average finish. Crafton's been decent at his career at Homestead with 1 win last season from the pole, 3 top 5s, 7 top 10s, and an average finish of 11.7. That wraps it up for TNT's segment of Did You Know for this week. Our next guest tonight is Travis Quapple. Since our previous introduction for this journeyman racer was a bit long-winded, we'll cut down a bit this evening.
Quapple is an American professional stock car racing driver. He currently competes full-time in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, driving the number 50 and number 1 Chevrolet Silverados for Make Motorsports, and part-time in the Xfinity Series, driving the number 15 Ford Mustang for BJ McLeod Motorsports and the number 25 Chevrolet Camaro for Rick Ware Racing.
He isn't quite on the line yet, so we're going to stand by for a little while, and hopefully he'll call in momentarily. So you're looking forward to the truck race tomorrow night?
Yeah, that's probably one of the, well, that and, I can't think of what it is right now, but that's probably one of the major truck races I'm really looking forward to.
It should be a good race. I'm looking forward to it, too. I think it'll be interesting. We're going down there early tomorrow morning, leaving here about the normal time we went to work, so about 7:30. It takes about an hour and a half, sometimes up to 2 hours, depending on traffic, to get down there. But since it is in Homestead, it's pretty much outside of most of the major Miami traffic zones, so it's not that bad. And it should be a good day. They've got a lot of activity on the track. They've got the truck starting. I believe they start at like 8:30 in the morning. Won't be down there for that, but we should be down there for the 10:30 a.m. practice, and then they've got stuff going on all day until the 8 o'clock race tomorrow night. Should be pretty good. They even have a barbecue class that they're sponsoring this year. So,
are you going to take that class?
No, because that's another $100 on top of the ticket price. So, not that enthused about it. But you do get to bring home lots of pork. You're supposed to be able to bring home a pork butt, the pork chops, and the pork. I think like a pulled pork. thing too. So they give you a little bit of everything you get to try when you're down there and have a little bit of a cooking thing. They did that last year, but last year it was more of a just for the people to sample. This year I think they're trying to get more people involved, and be interesting to see how that goes.
Who's your pick to win the truck race?
I'd actually go with William Byron, even though he's not in the not in the points anymore. I think he's probably the favorite to win the race tomorrow night. So, be interesting. But I'm, like I said to the other guy a minute ago, to Ray Black Jr., I think that there'll be a lot more drivers checking their instrument panel a lot more this weekend, especially after he had that warning light come on last week. No matter whether they can do something about it or not, they'll definitely come in and check.
Yeah. Those lights are pretty scary when they come on.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we'd like to welcome Travis Quapel back to the program this evening.
How you doing?
Hello, how you doing tonight?
How you doing? Good. Just sitting in the hotel, getting ready to get up early in the morning and get some practice.
Yep, I was just saying, you've got a really early morning practice tomorrow. What is it, 8:30 tomorrow morning? So.
Yeah, that's pretty early for practice, but it's, you know, it's kind of a tight schedule. A lot of stuff on track tomorrow, so we got to start early. And I like the one-day show, so I'm not complaining about it.
Do you actually learn anything at an 8:30 in the morning practice for a race that starts at about 8:00 at night tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, actually the conditions will probably be similar. I mean, I guess I'd rather, you know, practice at, you know, 9:10 in the morning. The first practice might not be so much because the track's going to be green, not going to have a lot of rubber laid down or any rubber laid down for that matter. And it'll chew through tires pretty quick, but our second practice will be really beneficial. You know, temperatures will still be kind of cool. It'll be more similar to our race conditions for the evening. So, yeah, I mean, the first practice, you know, we'll just go out and make a few laps, kind of get kind of a baseline, a feel for everything, and then we'll probably hit it a little harder in the second session.
Did you do anything differently this week to prepare for the final race of the season than you do for an average race?
No, not really. I mean, you just have to take the same approach and just bring the best we can, and, you know, work with what we do have to work with, and you know, make motorsports a really small team. So we don't have a whole lot of resources. We're bringing the truck that we ran at Texas a couple weeks ago. We have a pretty good understanding of the setup that we seem to work with that truck, and you know, we'll just bring the same approach we do every week and just come here and try to get the most out of practice and, you know, get the most out of the race.
What's your overall impression of Homestead Miami Speedway?
Yeah, it's a great racetrack. It's one of my favorites. You know, I remember when they redid it here, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, probably 2002, 2003, I guess it was. You know, I had the opportunity to race here when it was flat. And then when they added the banking to it, I, you know, really, really liked the changes that they made to it. The, you know, it's really racy now that the surface has aged. You know, it's one of those tracks where you can literally run all the way down by the apron or right up next to the wall and anywhere in between. So it's a track that, you know, lends to have some really great racing, some 3-4 wide action, 3 wides, 4 wides, really not that unheard of here. So looking forward to it. It's definitely one of my favorites, and you know, optimistic about you know, finishing the season on with a decent run.
What's your favorite thing about being a race car driver?
Just getting out there and competing and, you know, just trying to get the most out of your race car. You know, I really enjoy places like Miami, this track here this weekend where you can move around, and search for different lines or different grooves that you can try to get more speed, you know, out of your race car. You know, I enjoy, you know, kind of the mechanical side of it too. You know, I'm involved with, you know, setup quite a bit, and the changes we make during practice. You know, I really enjoy, you know, optimizing, you know, the aerodynamics and the platform of the truck and getting the splitter down, you know, that sort of thing. Just trying to find speed, but as a driver, really enjoy, you know, competing and trying to find, you know, all the speed you can out of the race car.
And who's your pick for the NASCAR Kemper World Truck Series champion for 2016?
I guess I'd probably have to pick Johnny Sauter just because he's a fellow Wisconsin boy. He's been on a roll here the last couple of weeks, been running really strong, picked up a few wins here recently. And, you know, I think he's finished, you know, pretty high in the Truck Series standings in the past, but I don't think he's got a title yet. So, I'd like to see Johnny win it. And he's a friend of mine. He's a fellow Wisconsin boy, but I think more than anything, that team's running really strong right now. And, they got a lot of momentum going into the last race.
Well, now I'd like to throw you out to Michael Mullally. He has a couple of questions for you as well.
10-4.
What's been one of your biggest inspirations throughout your racing career?
It's a name that nobody's ever heard of, but it was a good friend of my dad's growing up, Jimmy Pearson. He was a local racer. And when I was growing up as a kid, I worked on his race cars and went to the racetrack with him. And he was just a guy I learned a lot from. He taught me a lot of lessons, you know, and I'm working on race cars, building race cars, you know, just how to be, a good person. And so he was definitely one of the people I looked up to and learned a lot from.
If you could compete in any type of racing right now, I mean, obviously you still compete in, you know, NASCAR and stuff, but what else would you compete in?
I'm really intrigued by Formula One cars. I think they're amazing. You know, the engineering behind them is really incredible. I would love to have the opportunity to drive one, you know, just to get the feel of the braking and the power and how nimble those cars are through the corners. So I would love the opportunity to drive a Formula One car.
Now, does it take a lot to go from, 'cause I know some drivers race the trucks and the Xfinity cars, and I can't even think of the other cars right now. Does it take a lot to go from car to truck, or from truck to car each weekend?
Not really. After you do it a few times, or, you know, you run each class a few different times, you really have an understanding of that vehicle and that race car, what you can expect out of it, you know, from a Sprint Cup Series car. The Sprint Cup Series car is probably the hardest to drive. You know, they have the most horsepower, and probably the least downforce. The trucks and the Xfinity cars are really pretty similar. The Xfinity car has the same engine in it as the trucks, or the same spec. So they're very close. The aerodynamics are a little different, but after you do it a few times and after you get some experience, it's really not too hard.
And what do you think will be the toughest part about this weekend for you and your team?
Well, it's going to be the same challenges we face every week. Making your just trying to find all the speed you can out of the race truck. Work through practice just to try to find the best balance and try to get the most speed out of the truck. And that's something we face every week, whether it's you know, mile and a half here in Homestead, Miami, or a half mile like Bristol Motor Speedway. So it's always the same challenge, just working on the handling of the truck and just trying to get the most speed out of it as we can.
Well, we wish you lots of luck tomorrow night, and hopefully there'll be an amazing finish, and it'll be a come from behind victory for Make Motorsports in the Ford 200 tomorrow night.
Well, you never know, and I guess we're out there, we're competing, we have a chance. But I'm excited about the championship coming down and seeing. You know, I'm interested to see who's going to come out on top. What a great story that is there with, you know, some veteran drivers and a rookie driver. So. Looking forward to tomorrow night's race and giving it our best shot.
Well, thank you very much for coming on tonight, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Okay, will do. Thank you, guys.
Once again, that was Travis Quappel, who races for Make Motorsports in the Truck Series. He also does some racing in the Xfinity Series and the occasional Sprint Cup race. He's had an up-and-down career, and hopefully it's all picking up for him now. You never know. He is an aging driver compared to some of the others in the field, but he is definitely a past champion, and he's done really well for himself in the series. So, are you a race car driver, crew chief, pit member, track owner, or maybe you're just a huge fan of the sport? Contact either Michael Nolly or myself to get your spot on the show. After all, you deserve your 15 minutes of fame, and we would love to hear from you. This week, there's also been the NHRA Awards were held the other day. I did an article about that on Speedway Digest. There's also been a heck of a lot of announcements for the 2017 schedule, so check that out on SpeedwayDigest.com and the Racing News section as well. Also, the new Mazda DPI car was revealed yesterday in California at an auto show. I have a few pictures of that on Speedway Digest. .com in the Racing News section, so check that out. You can also check out pretty much any one of the Mazda Motorsports drivers' Facebook pages. They have pictures galore of that new car. It is an interesting-looking car, sort of like the next generation of what they have been driving for a few years. Personally, I think it looks a little bit more like a Ferrari than a Mazda, but we'll have to see how it runs, and hopefully they have a really good year with it. It's been a difficult season for Mazda, although they have had some poles, but they haven't made any wins yet. So maybe next season is their big season. You never know. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out those shows on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. They sent a big team of drivers to the Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend, not of drivers, of riders down there. The editor-in-chief of the SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson, will be there, as well as Dustin Albino, who'll be there covering the race. I'll also be there tomorrow a little bit, but my coverage of the racing itself will be limited. I'm mostly just there as a racing fan tomorrow. So should be a pretty good weekend for racing at Homestead Miami Speedway. It's got a good forecast. There isn't any rain in the forecast. It's going to be a teeny bit cooler with highs only in the 70s as opposed to the 80s or 90s as we've had in the past there. And no rain. The rain has been an issue there the past few years, so that's a good thing. There's no rain this year. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com. Stay tuned on Twitter at PBHappening, on the website, Instagram, and more, and find out what's happening in the Palm Beaches and beyond.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks in the Thunderdome when we will be delving into the wonderful world of modern motorsports, guests representing the top series in the nation and beyond.
From all of us at the Speedway Digest Radio Network, we hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving and look forward to seeing you again in the Thunderdome in about 2 weeks.